Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
We all know what the 4-H pledge is. I pledge my head to clearer thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, and my health to better living. For my club, my community, my country, and my world. Big city folks might not get it, but Western Wisconsin does. I'm Rebecca Cook, and I grew up on a dairy farm that's been here for generations. I'm a proud 4-H alumni, and I'm running for Congress. Farms like my family's have been under siege for decades. Big Ag has driven so many of us out of business. And what's Congress done? Nothing. Derek Van Orden has gone Washington. He yells at workers, talks down to people, and acts like he's better than us. He's in Congress to serve himself, not Wisconsin. I'm running for Congress to serve you. I'll stand up to Democrats to fight for a secure border, support police, and stop the wasteful spending. I'm Rebecca Cook, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message because values of 4-H beat the values of Washington any day of the week. Paid for by Cook for Congress.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. After a robust jobs report in September, President Biden making a surprise appearance at today's White House briefing, touting the 254,000 hires last month and says it adds to the nation's recovery due to his policies.
Across the board, unemployment is down 4 to 4.1%. And every month, in fact, that Vice President Harris and I have been in office, we've created jobs every single month.
The president also commended union dock workers and the Maritime Alliance for ending the port strike after 3 days. Both sides reached a tentative agreement. Workers will get more than a 60% pay raise over the next 6 years and will resume talks over sticking points in January. Kamala Harris campaigning in Michigan today. Former President Trump is in Georgia. He'll see some of the damage caused by Hurricane Helene. More than 250 people are dead across 6 states. And millions of residents in the West and Southwest under heat alerts through the weekend. This is ABC News. The FBI is looking for perpetrators of a sophisticated scam.
Maybe you've received an email or Facebook message from ICH Coin offering you the chance to learn about investing in Bitcoin. The company bills itself as a cryptocurrency platform, but
it is a scheme and a scam.
Amanda Culver of the FBI's Houston office says ICH Coin is playing on consumers' vague familiarity with virtual currency.
People are very interested in investing in cryptocurrency.
She says ICH Coin, with an app and legitimate-looking website, has defrauded Americans of $30 million in the past 11 months. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration's opened an investigation into certain Ford Edge models after receiving dozens of complaints alleging a loss of braking ability. The investigation affects approximately more than 360,000 vehicles from model years 2015 to 2017. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, I hear Staples can print everything for my business.
Sure can.
And the quality is guaranteed?
Absolutely.
Plus, you'll beat any price quote. Is that right?
For sure.
How about this one?
We'll beat it.
Can you print menu signs and flyers?
Sure can.
How about blueprints?
No problem.
What about red prints?
Not a real thing.
What if they were?
We'd print them. And they'd look amazing.
Now at Staples, print more, save more. Up to $150 off your print purchase. Ends 11-2. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for offer details and staples.com/price match for in-store price match guarantee.
Tommy! I can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter. So help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. The latest Marquette Law School poll shows Governor Tony Evers' approval rating dropping for the first time in almost 2 years. Poll director Charles Franklin.
He's been over 50% all year, but he dipped under this time, though still more approved than disapproved by a point or two. This is the first time we've had him under 50 since during the 22 reelection campaign.
Poll also found 44% of respondents say the state is headed in the right direction, while 56% say it's on the wrong track. That was 46 to 53 last month. A former Waupun correctional officer pleads no contest in connection to the deaths of two inmates.
Sarah Ransbottom was initially charged with misconduct in public office, but pleaded no contest last week to a lesser charge of violating laws governing state institutions. A criminal complaint alleges Ransbottom signed on record that she had completed cell checks on February 21st. Security camera footage showed she hadn't. Inmate Donald Meyer was found dead the following day. Nine people, including Ransbottom and former Waupun warden Randall Hepp, are charged in connection to the deaths of Meyer and another inmate. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Attorney General Josh Call won't be able to use sealed documents from the Milwaukee Archdiocese bankruptcy case to investigate sex crimes.
The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports a federal judge ruled last month the AG's office will not be allowed access to records that were sealed a decade ago in the wide-ranging bankruptcy case involving settlements with victims of clergy abuse. Call argued the files would remain confidential and not be released to the public, and that the Archdiocese was failing to provide records in his investigation. Judge Michael Haffinger said the files were sealed to protect victims. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A ton of sunshine today with high temperatures flirting with 70 degrees. Winds get feisty out of the south tomorrow, shoving our highs to near 80 degrees. Got chances of showers and maybe a rumble of thunder at night. Then as the cold front passes, we drop cool. Highs on Sunday only reach the mid-60s. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, it's 63 degrees.
All by myself. Well, not exactly. Chip ain't here. Don't worry about it. I'm more concerned with the pressure on grains today. How about you? You know what? We're going to get answers today, whether you like them or not. Live from the final laps of the week via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's wall-to-wall Bubba. Todd Bubba Horwitz shares his thoughts on life, the markets, issues spanning the globe. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, filling in for Chip. Welcome to AgriTalk, everybody. So pleased to slide in behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk in Mr. Flory's absence. Yeah, lots to talk about today. I mean, generally looking at the quote page here, not much to be excited about as we close out the week here. Corn is lower. Soybeans are lower. Bean meal, bean oil, lower. Also lower. Wheat, lower. I mean, all of the wheats are lower. Well, technically, we don't know if spring wheat is lower yet or not. Still waiting on that one to close. That one's been slow to settle all week long here, but I do have it under pressure. I don't think it's probably going to come back here. Meanwhile, the cattles look pretty decent, and the hogs really, really did try to hang on throughout today. And in fact, I originally had written the news copy just ahead of the settlements to say, we wound up with a mixed close in hogs today. Yeah, that sort of faded as we went along. I've got a conversation planned with Todd Bubba Horwitz. Longtime listeners will know Bubba. A bit of a departure from what we usually do, I guess you could call it, just because Todd Horwitz has some very strong opinions and ideas as to why things are the way that they are. I'm hoping that we can get to the what do farmers need to be thinking about. Because really on some level, and maybe this is it, we need to work to make it practical today. Because, you know, if there's something that y'all need to do, we are duty bound to share that with you.
And it looks like I've got Todd Bubba Horwitz from BubbaTrading.com standing by right now. Bubba, you got your ears on?
I got my ears on. I always got my ear. I'm always listening.
Dude, I'm so excited and happy that you are here today. What a great way to close out the week here. The markets, you know what? So here's my thought, Bubba, because I know that there are some things, one thing in particular, that you would like to talk about. But rather than just us kind of doing this the way that we usually do, let's just kind of pick our way through the news and the closes and all that sort of stuff. And just take our time discussing each of these markets in kind. It may take us a segment and a half. I really don't care. But I do kind of want to dig deep into some of these markets because we got harvest time coming up, Todd. It's an important time of year. Fair statement?
Fair statement. You got to get paid. Got to get paid from all the money we spent to plant.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. And somehow we got to figure out a way to pay for next year too, don't we?
We got to make some money because we got problems with a lot of things. So we got to figure it out.
Yep. Yep. And I'm looking forward to unpacking that list. Now, I know how you feel about the news that I write, Bubba, and I'm not disputing your opinions. However, I'm going to throw some news out here. I'm going to read the closes and then you and I can discuss. We'll start with the wheat market. Wheat futures extended Thursday's losses amid U.S. dollar strength. Drying in the U.S. plains is beginning to raise concerns over winter wheat establishment, despite some significant rain in hard red winter wheat areas during mid-September. Not much rain is expected for the next 10 days, and temperatures will continue to be quite warm. December SRW futures dropped below the five-day moving average and the psychological $6 mark overnight, hinting at a short-term top. However, futures violated support at the 10-day moving average near 591, suggesting building bearish momentum. December HRW wheat futures 13.5 cents lower at 598. December SRW wheat was down 7 cents today, 589.25. And I'm still waiting on spring wheat here, but I've got them at last report down 7.75, 638.5. Todd, I'm dying to hear your thoughts on the wheat market. Dollar strength here, that's got to be something we can hang our hat on. When you look at the wheat complex and the trade today and this week, give us your thoughts.
Well, first of all, it was very well written, by the way, just so you know. I'm very impressed with the way you wrote that news.
Stop it.
But, again, if you know that I understand the business. I was in the business years and years and years with my father. I understand it. But from a technical standpoint, which is what markets trade off of, I don't care what else anybody says, they trade off of technical data. The trend is up in wheat. It got overbought. Wednesday, it was massively overbought. So you had a little soft Thursday and Friday, and we're coming down to a nice little buying opportunity, probably around 585, if not sooner. And I would expect them to go up and make a new high again, because over the last 3 weeks, they've made higher lows and higher highs. And that's all you can ask for in a market that is trending higher. And it looks to me, as I said last couple weeks ago, that the markets look like they've turned the corner and are starting to go up. We're going to start to see the shorts get squeezed a little bit.
And have we seen evidence of that in the COT reports or anything like that, of those where those shorts might be positioned presently?
Well, they were holding the last report. They were holding the biggest short position since 2019. But at the end of the day, again, they can hold them until they puke. And I think they're getting close to puking. And I think if this continues the way I think it should, I think you will see a massive puke out on the shorts, because they're going to force a cover. And I'm hoping that we don't force them too quickly, because I don't want to see a straight spike up where it just comes right back down again. I want to see it grind up and really stick it to it and force it. To force them not only to cover shorts, but then to take that money and put it into the long side of the market.
Right, right. And that may be a theme that runs through our conversation about these markets today. And Chip and I have talked about that too. Okay, that'd be great to get them to come out of their shorts and perhaps even to even up some of those short positions. But then the trick is to get them to buy. Now, I've got December hard red winter wheat on the week up 21.25 cents. Soft red wheat up 9.25 cents. On the week, it doesn't feel like a terrible week for wheat, at least on the price side. Yeah.
It looks great. Like, again, if anybody looks at the chart, if anybody ever looks at a chart, the chart looks phenomenal. And the sell-off that came on after Wednesday, that was a blow-off top for a short period of time. We had the biggest volume day in the last 3 months. It went straight up. And, of course, when they go straight up, they're going to usually have to have some retracement. And you're not even back to the mean yet. And we were up at that time around three standard deviations of a move, which is never going to hold on either side of the market. So we got a little bit of a pullback. Right now, if I were to say right now, I'd say 585 could be higher. But certainly, I wouldn't be a seller here. I'd be a buyer because I think that, again, that everything looks terrific and looks like it's going higher, not to mention that we have the inflation trade that's going to start to come into play here because of what the Federal Reserve did. That's going to create more inflation, which should inflate these prices. So we have a lot of good things to look forward to because of where we've been. And that is the roadmap. When you look at a market, you look at the map, you look at the footprint. And right now, the footprint says that we should go much higher.
See, that explanation right there, bro, I appreciate your words so much. I can't wait to get to corn. We're going to do corn, beans. I don't know if we'll do much on cotton. There might be some cotton talk in there, but, I mean, we've got the livestock to discuss. And Bubba wants to talk interest rates, and I do too. A whole bunch to talk about on AgriTalk next.
Welcome to the soothing sounds of Cropland Seed. It's the kind of sound you only get with broad access to high-performing genetics and traits, and years of data from extensive testing. Also, retailers can recommend what will work best in your fields. Take some stress out of your season. Talk to your local retail seed expert about Cropland Seed today.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
I taught for 20 years. Until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation, together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
There are better-known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Anabu Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
Building a new home or remodeling and need a new plumber? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need a perk test or septic system? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need sewer line cleaning or repair? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. Need a new water heater or repair? Call Bauer Plumbing and Septic. From basic plumbing to big projects, call Chris Bauer of Bauer Plumbing and Septic Service at 715-672-8224. That's 715-672-8224.
The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk. In fact, you are listening to AgriTalk now, either live or later on your preferred digital device or your favorite ag radio station somewhere across the country, parts unknown. Hello, whoever you might be, wherever you may be. I hope you are well. We're talking with Todd Bubba Horowitz today. It's harvest season, and Chip mentioned something this morning. It was in the National Weather Service Weather Outlook fire weather. Gang, it is dry. I don't need to tell you that. If it's dry where you are, you know. Just be careful. Keep those combines cleaned out. A fire can start and take off faster than you can imagine. So please be safe. Protect your crop. Protect yourself and your family out there on harvest. Bubba, come on back in here and let's talk about corn. I appreciate your thoughts on the wheat there. Now, if I'm a wheat producer, I'm worried a little bit about this dryness, this heat, this emergence here. Is there anything marketing wise that a savvy wheat producer might need to be clued in on here? Anything catch your eye?
Well, listen, you know that I always believe that everybody should be fully hedged all the time, no matter what the price is, but you have to be fully hedged correctly, which means that you have to leave the upside open for the big rally, but you need to protect your basis on the downside. And it's easily done using derivatives, and then you take away many of those who use the futures and try to play with it to get margin calls, all this stuff. There's an easy way to do it in the option market. There's an easy way to generate some general extra income against your crop that you already own. The one thing you never want to give up is the potential for the upside momentum, because we've all seen, I mean, what, 18 months ago, wheat was $14. So that could certainly happen again at some point. But if you're protecting the downside, then you're never giving up, and you've always got that money coming back in. But when you have to make those payments, you've got some money in your account that you can take out and pay for your crop in the ground.
Yeah, very nice. That's really good advice. Beloved listener, in case you missed the first segment here, we're just working our way through the news, just nice and easy here. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff today, but we need to get to the corn news here. All we did was make it through wheat in the first segment. Corn futures extended yesterday's pullback amid selling in soybeans and wheat and strengthened the dollar. USDA reported daily corn sales of 198,000 metric tons to unknown destinations for 24-25. World Weather Inc. reports dry weather will continue in the U.S. Midwest, Delta, and Plains and far western states through much of the coming 10 days, allowing harvest to accelerate. Technically, December corn futures dropped below the 5-day moving average overnight, potentially signaling a short-term top. Next support, the 10-day moving average around 421. This week's high at 434 and a quarter stands as solid near-term resistance. Today, December corn futures were 3.5 cents lower, 424 and three quarters. March corn was down 4 1/4 to 441 and three quarters. July corn futures closed at 455 and a quarter. And on the week, December corn futures actually gained 6 3/4 cents here. Todd, we saw unknown, whoever that may or may not be, step in here. By 198,000 metric tons, not a tremendously humongous eye popper of a sale. But is there something to be gleaned about the price levels right now? Or are we just looking at maybe some static demand that just came in and needed some corn? What you reckon?
They're going higher. They're in the same pattern as wheat. Okay. They could go down, in my view, they could go down to 420, maybe a little bit lower. But at the end, you want to look to be a buyer. We're in the same position. We had a nice rally up on a little bit more than volume. The sell-off's been on light volume, which is always more bullish than bearish. Okay. And again, the same thing applies here. We got to a position that the markets were overbought for 3 or 4 days, and you got a little bit of a pullback. And the pullback, believe it or not, in markets, no matter what the market is, if the market is trending in one direction or the other, the opposite move for a short period of time is always much healthier, because that attracts more new money to come into the market to push it in the direction you want it to go.
All right. Let's move on to soybeans. Soybean futures trimmed early session losses today, but still succumbed to pressure on corn and wheat. USDA reported daily soybean sales of 116,000 metric tons to China for 24-25. ADM's facility in Des Moines will close for maintenance work from mid-October through November. Brazil is expecting rain in its center-west and center-south crop areas Wednesday through Friday of next week, followed by more limited rain the following weekend. November soybean futures remain near the middle of the short-term consolidation pattern outlined by Monday's high at 1069 and three quarters and the September 25 low at 1031 and one quarter. Novi beans today, 8 1/4 cents lower, 1037 and three quarters. January beans down 8.5 to 1056. March beans closed at 10.71 and one quarter, down 8.5 cents on the day and on the week. Looks like November beans down 28 cents. This is the first market that we've encountered, Todd, that that is lower on the week. Are beans in a different position than corn and wheat are currently?
Nope. They look almost the same. And again, if you go back to last Friday, okay, we had a big update. And the 5 days subsequently have remained inside of last Friday. So we have not taken out last Friday's high, nor have we taken out last Friday's low. So we're racing just in the middle, which is beautiful for consolidation. And I would say that probably somewhere around 10.35 or so would be a pretty good level, 10.30. And I would look to be a buyer there as well because they all look the same. They all have the same characteristics of a market that's getting ready or that is in an uptrend.
We were talking about 2 weeks ago here on the show, Chip and I were, about soybeans kind of coiling a spring to pop higher. To me, it feels like maybe some of that starch came out of that spring. Is that what you're feeling as well, or am I not looking at it right?
Well, I mean, listen, everybody's going to look at it how they want to look at it, but at the end of the day, from my perspective, we've come up from our lows at about 950. We got up to 1080 just about, and we pulled back to 1037. I mean, that's not even really much of a move down. And I would expect that we should hold support somewhere right around here as we approach the mean of the move. And again, from a mathematical standpoint, from a footprint standpoint, and from a charting standpoint, there is no reason to believe that these are not going higher once again, and they should take out the 1080 high and probably on their way to $11.
So when we're talking about these corn and soybean markets, we're coming up on a harvest market. Are you talking about the potential for firming through harvest, or are you seeing like further down the road, maybe we need to wait and get through some potential harvest pressure? Because there's a lot of corn and beans out there on farm, and as soon as there's a pop and they can make some space for this crop, they're going to move it to town. And I don't like what that's going to do to local basis or to prices here. So are you talking a little bit more long-term, or are you talking the next few weeks here? You're seeing this as a potential.
Well, I'm talking the fourth quarter, Davis. Again, I can't time it to when it would be.
Sure.
But, you know, a lot of the farmers and producers, if they have the ability to store and don't have to pay for storage, they won't be running so quickly to take it to town. Okay. There's a big difference here as whether or not you have the room to store and you don't have to pay to store it, because these guys know that crop is like a bank account and it's going to go higher at some point. And if I have the room to store and I don't have to pay for that storage, then I'm not selling it. And I think there's a lot of farmers and producers that are in that position. And I think that's why when they get down so low, they found a low because nobody was willing to sell them anymore. And I think that the only guys that will be selling now are those that either have to pay for storage or need money to pay some of the bills. But I don't think you're going to see a lot of selling in here, because I think that they recognize that the inflation rate is on and that there's a much higher probability they're going to go higher. So I would suggest that the only thing that will be sold is something that is desperately needed to pay some bills, to pay some banknotes, whatever it happens to be. But if I'm flush and I don't have to worry about much, then I'm not selling. I'm holding, because I know that there's a higher probability that we go higher than then we go lower.
See, I like that. I like that. That's a thought that I don't know if it's been raised here on AgriTalk just yet. I really appreciate that. Quickly, let's get through cotton, and then let's talk rates on the other side of the break here. December cotton today was 54 points higher at 73.27. I guess we're waving off news of Hurricane Helene, or maybe we're waiting on specific information on crop damage down there. That was an awful scene through cotton country there, Todd.
Well, cotton's been really struggling, but I think it did find some lows under 70, and I do think that similarly, but not quite as strong, looks pretty good. And listen, if I were going to do anything with cotton, then I traded occasionally, but I'd be a buyer. I think we got a chance to run once again back to much higher prices. I don't like to give out numbers, but I could see a pretty healthy rally coming. Remember, we've got much higher inflation, and we got much higher inflation coming. Okay, so that should lift some of these prices to begin with. Okay. Then you have the potential of an equity market that might be ready to start melting down. That's not, but it might be ready, which is also new money. Remember, money comes from somewhere, and it usually comes out of one place and goes into another. And I could certainly make the case especially when you saw this ridiculous jobs number today, that inflation is coming back. These prices are going to start to inflate, and then we'll start to see what really happens, because I think some of the money will come out of the equities and roll into some of these commodity markets.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to throw a grenade out there, and we'll see what happens with that. We're going to talk interest rates when we come back on the other side of the break there. We will get a full download from Todd Bubba Horowitz from BubbaTrading.com right here on AgriTalk. I'm glad you've tuned in. Stick around a little while longer, won't you?
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where December HRW wheat futures were 13.5 cents lower at 598. December SRW wheat fell 7 cents to 589.25. December corn futures 3.5 cents lower, 424.75. March corn down 4.25 cents to 441.75. November soybeans 8.25 cents lower at 1037.75. January beans down 8.5 cents to 1056. December cotton today was 54 points higher at 73.27. On your livestocks, December fat cattle were 60 cents higher at 187 even. Novi feeders $1.15 higher, 249.27 and a half. And December lean hogs down 25 cents today, 76.15. Get more market news every market day. Visit tryprofarmer.com.
Farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sunstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sunstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sunstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sunstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
The warm weather continues in our Real Country 1430 forecast. Sunshine throughout the day today. Temperatures near 70, northeast winds at around 5, shifting to the southeast. Tonight, clear, lows mid-40s. Tomorrow, sunny, warmer, a slight chance of an afternoon shower. Highs, low 80s. Be listening for Durand, Arkansas boys football tonight. The Panthers hosting Fall Creek for homecoming. The Advent Health Panther preview is at 6:45. Kickoff at 7 o'clock here on Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN.
Pressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk. In Chip's absence, I've got Todd Bubba Horowitz. Bubba, you have been very patient. You have answered my questions. You have spoken to the markets. Now I want to dole out a little bit of rope here and let you talk about things that are important to you, things that are in your head. And why don't we go ahead and begin at interest rates? We got a half percentage point cut just last month. Bubba, interest rates, go.
Well, first of all, where do we tweet to? At where? I want to make sure everybody remembers where to tweet us at.
Let's see. I believe it's hashtag AgriTalk, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Anyways, if you've noticed, the Fed cut rates a half a basis point on September the 18th. Since then, the interest rate market, the 10-year notes were down about 3.4. As of today, the 10-year notes are almost 4%. Interest rates have gone up every single day just about since the Fed cut rates. So what does that tell us? It tells us that a rate cut by the Federal Reserve is meaningless because at the end of the day, the rate cut does not affect you and me. It affects the lending rate from the Federal Reserve to the bank. The bank then turns around and loans out that money that they borrow from the Federal Reserve and they lend it to the public. And they work on a spread. So all that happened is the bank's got a half a point raise and they are not bringing down their rates because there's a demand for money because everybody's looking because they're all busted. So everybody needs to borrow money and the banks are not going to cut a break. Mortgage rates have gone up 3 or 4 times since the Fed cut their rates. So I go back to that the rate cut was more a government issue that was to create more inflation because there is something that is known as the hidden tax of inflation. And because they can't just raise our income taxes, they have to find other ways to tax you. So by bringing down the rate, creating more potential excitement, pretending people thinking that they're getting cheaper rates, which they're not, they then spend more. Every dollar you spend anywhere has a federal tax associated with it at some point or other, which means that more tax dollars go into the coffers so they can throw more of our money away into Ukraine and to other places other than the United States. And that is the bigger issue because interest rates are not coming down for the people, for the borrowers like you and me. They are still going higher. And this is why they should have never cut, because this is going to create the inflation trade. And of course, not everybody can benefit from the inflation trade because many people in this country are starving and in a recession and don't have jobs. So this whole big blue about the interest rate has nothing to do with the average American middle class. It only has something to do with the extremely wealthy and the banks that are now making more money than they were making before.
Follow me down this rabbit trail. Maybe I'm way off here. I'm trying to find a bright spot here for the consumer, Todd.
There is no bright spot for the consumer.
Does that mean
there is no bright spot?
Hmm.
I mean, think about this thing. Look at what your government's doing. Okay, they're trying to create globalism. Okay, why is it that we're paying? Let's see, crude oil today is up to $75 a barrel. Okay, we are producing in this country more oil than ever. Okay, but we don't keep our own oil; we ship it off to China. Okay, and then we buy oil back from Saudi Arabia. So you tell me in what metric, in what world does that work so that we have to pay more because we're buying from OPEC and we're shipping the oil that we dig ourselves and we're sending it out to China? In what world does that ever make any sense? Your strategic petroleum reserve has got about a 14-day supply. So what if something happens? What if there's a war? I mean, there's wars going on everywhere. What if something happens? We don't have any oil because we've shipped it all to China and we haven't filled our own strategic petroleum reserve yet.
That's exactly right. And, you know, meanwhile, domestic crude oil production here, I don't know. I was looking for the figure. I couldn't find it earlier today. But, I mean, hovering around 12 million barrels a day on average, right? It's not a production problem at all.
No, we could produce it. They choose not to sell it to us. They choose to sell it elsewhere and force us to pay twice as much to buy it back from Saudi or from OPEC, which is another criminal cartel. Okay. So this is the problem, and this is your government at work, because they need more money. Because listen, the debt is only $35 trillion and change. I mean, I know you got that in the bank account, so you can pay it off for us.
But I don't like to brag.
I mean, you know, think about that. I mean, you know, this is what is going on, and why are we not taking care of ourselves? We are struggling. We are in a recession. If you make, I don't know, let's say $150,000 and below, depending where you live, you're in a recession. You're struggling. The chairman of Darden Restaurants has said that they no longer get the customer that makes $70,000 and below. They don't come anymore. They can't afford to come anymore. They are now getting the higher end customer who doesn't want to go to the higher end restaurant. So these costs are ridiculous. This inflation is ridiculous. Jobs are ridiculous. And of course, you're paying higher interest rates for the privilege.
Yeah. Yeah. And now we've got a major natural disaster down there in the southeastern United States that we've got to pay for somehow, too. Now, I'm sure that there are.
Oh, and FEMA doesn't have any money.
There.
Oh, isn't
yeah.
it? There's no money because yeah. they gave all the money to the illegal immigrants. Okay. Are you happy that your tax dollar is funding to pay for legal immigrants, for hospitalization, for housing, and for money?
No.
Are you happy about that?
No.
Okay. Are you happy that there's 35,000 Chinese in this country that illegally immigrated when you know that China, whatever you want to think, they're an enemy? They're not a friend.
Yeah. That's a scary number. That's a scary number. It absolutely is.
Well, again, if you've listened to them talk, they have the 100-year plan that they want to take over the world. So, yep. You know, now they've got 35,000 that we can recognize of illegals here. So, but the good news is we, the taxpayer, the farmer, the producer, me, you, we all get to pay for this. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah,
okay.
It's terrific.
And our tax dollars go to nothing. You know, since I was voting, every presidential candidate since I've been voting promised to fix the roads and the bridges. So mm-hmm. far, close your eyes. What do you see? That's how many have done it.
Yeah.
So again, this is, we're creating a massive mess here, and between what's going on now in Israel as well and what's going on in Ukraine, I mean, yeah. it just doesn't make sense, and it's very illogical.
So does what fixes this? What perfect world scenario makes this all go away? Do we need to completely flush it, go to full-on, you know, 1929 kind of a vibe and flush it all out and start again? Or is there a way back that's a little less dramatic?
Well, there's always a way back, Davis. It really depends. And again, I don't care if you're a Republican or you're a Democrat. None that I know of, and I don't want to speak for everybody, but none of them that I know on either side of the aisle really have the best interests of the American people in their mind. Okay? So we have a flawed system there because they all spend too much money. How Speaker Johnson did not let the government shut down without getting the SAVE Act in is beyond me. Okay. Mm-hmm. But now the real way to get back to what this country means and what we were meant to be and what all of us remember from 40, 50 years ago was a free market. Let the markets dictate what the interest rate should be. Let the market dictate what the price of every good and service should be. And then you would have true price discovery and a free market, not what they're trying to create, which is a communist country here or a socialist country here. Okay. You have to let, you know, free market asset prices will price themselves. And I'll give you the perfect example. You go to the bank, you want to borrow money. Let's say you're going to pay 6, 7, 8%. Okay. Now, but if you borrow from a peer-to-peer lender like a Prosper or more or a Cabbage or one of those guys, interest rates are on 14 or 15%. So what does that tell you? That the consumer will pay more interest and that we have to quit worrying about taking care of the banks because they're way over lending. Banking in themselves, they create new money as well. I don't know if you're aware of, but fractional banking, which allows the bank to lend 10 times for every dollar that they hold on reserve, they are allowed to lend out 10. So that's just like printing money. But the biggest gimmick that they have going now is they can borrow from the Federal Reserve. So let's say they borrow $1 million from the Federal Reserve. They take it into their coffers. Now, you and I both know if we did that, that's a liability, right? It's not an asset. Yep. It's a liability.
Right.
But through an accounting trick, they can turn it into an asset and then lend out $10 million. Okay? So they're making a fortune on the backs of us who had to bail them out in 2008 and why they didn't let them go broke. See, the capitalistic system says, if you're not strong enough to survive, you're out of business. Somebody else will come in and take your place. But
that's
we're not
market.
Doing that.
Yes.
That's right.
So is there fear that maybe the free market won't do it right? Or is there fear among the leadership that, no, free market is stupid. What we need is a managed economy. We can manage it better than the free market can manage itself. Is there a
You can see how they got $35 trillion in debt.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. No, the free market always works. The free market always works. The problem is they don't want to let it, because if you let the market be free, then all the guys that are taking all the graft money, you know, the lobbyists and everybody else to make these ridiculous deals. I mean, why does Joe Biden, President Biden, have 177 bank accounts? Can you tell me?
Wow. I guess I wasn't aware he did. That seems like a lot.
I mean, how are Joe and Jill Biden, who have earned in their lifetime $6 million, worth over $150 million? Mm-hmm. Again, just explain it to me. Maybe they're the greatest investors in the world. I don't know. But
I've heard
you know, it's kind of hard to make those numbers. And those numbers are not Nancy Pelosi and the insider trading. In the meantime, look what happened to her city of San Francisco. Yeah.
Yeah. That's another big problem that I don't know. I don't see how we get that sorted out. I mean, you can't be trading stocks on. I don't know. It's was it Harry Truman that said something about? I don't know if you come into office as a poor man and you leave. Yes, and you leave a rich man. That's seems like the world that we live in. Todd, I'm going to give you a chance to finish up your thoughts on that. But we would be remiss if we didn't talk just a little bit of livestock, because I know that you've got some opinions, some thoughts, some insights on the cattle and the hogs, and I want to get to those as well, too,
before
we run out of time, brother. So we'll do that on the other side of this break. Won't you stick around for more AgriTalk?
Well, now, which would you rather have, world-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
When Senator Tammy Baldwin first went to Washington, the big news story was Y2K. And we were partying like it was 1999. Baldwin has been in D.C. for more than 25 years. And after a quarter century, her values are a lot more Washington than Wisconsin. Baldwin supported providing puberty blockers and sex change surgeries to minor children in Wisconsin. And Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men who claim to identify as women, even though domestic violence survivors say it would be traumatic to be forced to sleep in the same shelters as men. Tammy Baldwin, 25 years in Washington has changed her, and now she's just too extreme for Wisconsin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save a life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Hey, y'all, I'm Kelly Clarkson. Every American dreams of creating a better life for his or her family, but in some communities, those dreams face difficult challenges. When we come together to help those in need get the same opportunities as everyone else, we truly are making our country a better place to live for all of us. So look for volunteer opportunities in your community to help others achieve the American dream, all right? This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
This is Andrew McRae, host of The American Countryside.
I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
If you served, we want you to get the health care and benefits you earned. We want you to come to VA.
There's never been a better time to apply. Under a new law called the PACT Act, we've expanded VA care and benefits to millions of people who served and their survivors.
No matter where you served or how long you served, check out va.gov/PACT to learn more about what VA can do for you and your family.
Come to VA.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I got to be an eavesdropper during the commercial break there. Big Apple Joe, Todd, Bubba Horwitz, our guest today from BubbaTrading.com. BubbaTrading.com. We're talking about the two-party system. The two-party system. Todd, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who's lived internationally, and we were talking about the two-party system, and he said, look, man, careful what you wish for if you want more options, because he was over in Spain, apparently, where they do some, I don't even know, some kind of parliamentary thing or something. He was like, there were like 20 people on the ballot, and then you got all these people kind of trying to chase issues and making little coalitions. Then you got to vote again, and we still didn't get it. Now you got to vote again, and they all trade places. That sounds like an absolute mess. I'm not sure what we've got here is much more appetizing. Todd?
You're talking about socialism, though. There's a difference. Okay, you want true free markets, you want a true free country, then we have a system. The problem is that, like, a third party, if you're a libertarian, which I belong into, because I don't really care what you do at home on your own. I care about the fiscal issues. I care about the debt. I care about my taxes. Okay, you can't get one of those candidates because they can't even get on all 50 states on the ballot. It's too hard.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. You mentioned yourself as a registered independent. Don't tell us, we're not about picking sides here, but the vice presidential debate the other night, people were wondering, oh, this might sway some of those voters in the middle. Does that moniker independent necessarily mean that you're in the middle and you can maybe go either way?
Well, if I would have watched that debate and wasn't sure, I'd be voting for Trump. Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, listen, Waltz seems like a nice enough fellow. I got no problem with him. He was overmatched. He was overmatched in that debate, and he kept referring back to Minneapolis, and I think everybody forgets about the peaceful protesting in Minneapolis not that long ago. Okay, so I guess he didn't do such a good job about that. Yeah. The peaceful protesting. Let me talk about livestock, then we'll finish up. I don't want anybody to miss out. I think cattle's going down.
Okay.
These prices are ridiculous. These are as high as they've ever been. And I go back about 10, 12 years. We were up here once before, not this high, but up in these areas. The bottom line is this. I know there's a little bit of a shortage, but if I'm a farmer, if I'm a producer, I'm hedging that position. I'm not telling you to sell it. I'm not telling you to get out. I'm not telling you to get short. I'm saying I'm going to hedge that with options. I'm going to put on a 1-by-2 back ratio, and I'm going to protect the price of that cattle, because when it comes down, and it is going to come down. I can't tell you when. It is coming down. But it ain't coming down to 175. When it comes down again, it's going back into the 140s. Okay. So I would protect it. I would do the same thing with feeders. And I think hogs are severely underpriced here. And if you're an owner, again, there's not much you can do, but I would hedge in case I'm wrong and they go lower. That's one thing I always believe in, is just like I do with my own equity portfolio, I'm always protected against disaster, but I always get paid if they keep going up. And I think that's the position that every farmer wants to be in.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, but we were talking earlier about who's going to restaurants these days. Who's paying for, I mean, let's just call it what it is. Who's paying for steaks? You've seen, you were mentioning that 70K annual earner and below is out of the game. Those in the next tier above have taken their spots in the restaurants that they used to occupy. So does that mean that, I mean, these, we got millionaires are the only ones that can afford steaks right now?
I think so. I mean, pretty much. I mean, you listen, go out to dinner. How much is a steak at an average restaurant? What's a steak? $35. If you go to a nicer restaurant, $60, $70. You can't get away with going out to dinner for less than, if you take a family of four, you can't get away from a nice restaurant for less than $400 or $500.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, crikey.
Okay. I mean, again, I don't have that much laying around every day to go out to dinner every day. Mm-mm. I mean, you know, and I went to McDonald's. I'll tell you a funny story. I went to McDonald's the other night, and we have the app. So my wife gives me the code, and she gets the McDouble deal, $5, right?
Okay.
And I get a couple of cheeseburgers. I looked at them. They were about 25% less in size than they used to be.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
So that's how they're giving you the deal. They're cutting down the size. And when you go to the grocery store, and a package that used to be 16 ounces is now 10. Mm-hmm. Okay? And it's the same price as it was when it was 16. Again, this, like they always say, and everybody recognizes, high prices will cure high prices. I can't tell you when. I don't want to be a guy that tells you I know when it's going to happen. But I am short cattle, and I am staying short cattle unless it gets over $2. If that happens, then I'll be wrong, and I'll take my losses, and I'll move on. But if I'm a producer and I'm an owner, then I'm going to certainly hedge that protection, because why not take, at least lock in, $1.80?
Mm-hmm. It seems like a take-what-you-can-get kind of market, doesn't it?
Yeah, and again, they're talking there's still a shortage, and I suppose there is, which is keeping these prices higher. But, you know, nobody's paid attention, but feeders have lost about 20% from their all-time highs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what does that mean for fats?
Yeah, and what's interesting is, you're exactly right, we do need to see some herd rebuilding take place here. Great at these levels with these fats at $187. Sure, I could see there's incentive to expand there, but If the flush is coming, I think that maybe stifles maybe some expansion plans for some folks. Although,
I would think so.
Maybe cheaper to get in. I'm not sure. I don't know. We need Chip for the fundamental conversation about cattle. Hey, Todd, you've been really generous with your time.
Just remember this.
Yeah.
Everything trades technically. Forget about the fundamentals unless you're buying a stock.
I'm going to give you just a second here to say anything that you feel like you need to say, to reiterate anything, buddy. I sure appreciate you being on the show. Any last words for us?
Yeah, just protect yourself. Farmers and producers, listen, money's real. And you got to make sure that you lock in a downside protection so that you don't get hammered if they do go lower, especially if you're in the cattle markets. I mean, you're really high prices. So remember, you got a lot of issues coming out here, and don't be so hurried to sell your grains, because this inflation trade is real, and it's already showing up in crude oil and other markets, and it's going to continue to show up in the grain markets as well.
Todd, if people want more, I would probably send them to bubbatrading.com. Is that the right spot to find you?
That would be great. And if anybody's got a question directly, they want to email me, they can email me at bubba@bubbatrading.com.
bubba@bubbatrading.com. Dude, I love spending time with you in shows like this. Thanks so much for being here on a Friday afternoon. I imagine otherwise you would have been in the pool or something. So I really appreciate
it.
I'm
on the raft floating around right now, baby. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Todd Bubba Horwitz, bubbatrading.com. Let's go to that 6 to 10 day outlook according to the National Weather Service. Above normal temperatures across the entire Corn Belt, below normal temperatures up the eastern seaboard. 6 to 10 day precip outlook, dry everywhere except Florida and the Four Corners region there. Same deal for the 8 to 14, hot and dry, good people. Special thanks to Todd Bubba Horwitz. Dude, we went through a whole lot of stuff there. For Big Apple Joe and myself, Davis Michelson, come back Monday morning for more AgriTalk.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde suggested most nursing home residents shouldn't be allowed to vote because of their life expectancy.
Listen to Eric Hovde.
Well, if you're in a nursing home, you only have 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is in a point to vote.